The word of God given to us today is Luke 15, 1 through 7. Please turn to page 121 of the New Testament. Please allow me to read the words of God. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Amen. One of the works of Steven Spielberg is a film called Saving Private Ryan. This is considered to be a great work to the extent that it's said to have marked a new chapter for war movies. The movie takes place at the end of the World War II in 1944. Four brothers of the Ryan family served in the war on the U.S. side, and three of them, except the youngest, lost their lives at Normandy and at the Pacific War. When their mother, who lived in a small village, heard this news, she immediately fell to the ground. The U.S. Army Chief of Staff then ordered the soldiers to go save the youngest of the family, James Ryan. To search for Ryan, Captain Miller went with seven other soldiers. The soldiers complained about this absurd order for eight people to go search for one person. One of the soldiers said, "Well, from my way of thinking, sir, this entire mission is a serious misallocation of valuable military resources. Captain, what about you? I mean, you don't gripe at all?" Captain Miller said, "I don't gripe at all. I'm captain. There's a chain of command. Gripes go up, not down. Always up." After all sorts of hardships, the soldiers found Private Ryan, but Ryan said he had to protect the bridge and that he would not go back home because it would not be right for him to leave the battlefield while all the other soldiers stayed behind. He told the soldiers they could leave if they wanted. Captain Miller did not know what to do, and one of the soldiers said, "But another part of me thinks, what if, by some miracle, we stay and actually make it out of here? Someday we might look back on this and decide that saving Private Ryan was the decent thing we were able to pull out of this whole mess." Captain Miller finally decided to help Private Ryan and together worked out different strategies, such as building bombs to defend the bridge. Before additional troops arrived, many soldiers were killed. Captain Miller was no exception. Captain Miller died, leaving his last words to Private Ryan. "Earn this, earn it." This meant, "You must survive and return home. Go live the rest of your life." He meant to say, "Many people lost their lives to save you. I hope you're worth saving after so much sacrifice." Their lives were exchanged for yours. Do not suffer from guilt, but give thanks for their works and live a life worthy of the sacrifice. Today's scripture can be called Saving Private Sheep. The Jewish people, particularly the Pharisees and the teachers of law, had a misconception about God. The God that they had in mind was the God of the righteous, not the God of the sinners, because they believed that God was the God of the righteous. They struggled to live in holiness. So they could not accept these words of Jesus. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. If they were to accept this, their entire religious beliefs and value system would collapse. The Pharisees and the teachers of law couldn't understand what Jesus did in today's passage. Verses 1 and 2 state, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Jesus not only spoke to, but also ate with the tax collectors and the sinners. The people back then called the tax collectors thieves with licenses. They hated the tax collectors and would say that there are wolves in the woods and tax collectors in the streets. Even though the tax collectors were Jewish, the tax collectors could not enter the place in the temple where the Jewish men could enter. The sinners referred to all the people who were rejected by the society, including the prostitutes. What Jesus did with these people showed that God was not only the God of the righteous, as the Pharisees believed, but also the God of the sinners. Jesus told the following parable to the people who did not understand the character and the acts of God. Luke 15 introduces three parables. Today's scripture about the shepherd who finds the lost sheep appears in the book of Matthew as well, while the other two parables about the woman who finds 10 silver coins and the father who finds his lost son appear in the book of Luke only. What these parables have in common is that there was a party for having found something that was lost. Verse 4 states, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" We generally think of sheep in very positive terms. But the people at the time of the scripture did not. Sheep have a number of characteristics, which include the following. First, sheep have poor depth perception and cannot see what's in front of them, so sheep stay in groups. Falling away from the group would mean getting lost. Second, sheep do not have the ability to find food. Sheep have poor eyesight and cannot see objects clearly beyond 6 to 7 feet. With such eyesight, they cannot tell the difference between pasture from thorn bush. Third, sheep do not have the ability to protect their lives. Sheep have neither the ability to run like cheetahs, nor the ability to climb trees like monkeys, nor the bite force like hyenas, nor the sharp claws like lions. They do not have large bodies like hippos or elephants. Sheep have horns on their heads, but their horns are coiled and cannot help protect them. Fourth, sheep are known to be very stubborn. Sheep have poor eyesight. They do not have the ability to find food. They do not have anything to protect themselves. They have nothing, yet they're stubborn. To the ancient Middle Eastern people, sheep were not animals that were welcomed. To these people, one of the most offensive remarks to men was like, sheep. To them, sheep were animals which were dumb, stubborn, and unable to listen to others, and unclean animals. So Isaiah 53 prophesied about the redeeming work of Jesus as follows. Isaiah 53:5-6 states, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Because of our sins, iniquities, Jesus suffered piercing pain on his body. We were made whole, yet we were like sheep, so we went on our own ways. Like sheep, we were unable to see, unable to find food, unable to protect themselves, yet were stubborn and insistent on going their own ways. Our human nature was to reject God's will completely. The Pharisees and the teachers of law divided people into two categories. First, the people like them, and the second, the people like the tax collectors and sinners that they would not associate with. In other words, they believed that there were people God loved and the people God rejected. However, Jesus saw people as the sheep inside the fence and the lost sheep. All of these people were to be protected by the shepherd. When Jesus came to this earth, the people who first worshipped the baby Jesus, besides Mary and Joseph, were the shepherds of Bethlehem. That is why the famous picture on the Christmas card used to be of the baby Jesus in a manger with Mary and Joseph nearby, and the animals and shepherds bowing their heads. When we picture the scene, it seems truly beautiful. However, if the Jewish people had seen this back then, they would have frowned upon the scene, shaking their heads. They might have asked why there had to be shepherds of all people. The shepherds at the time were at the bottom of the social class. They were the people who had lost their lands or sheep to the creditors or the landowners, and who took care of the sheep owned by others for a meager salary that barely provided for their living. the reason the owners of the sheep made the shepherds work out in the fields was because the owners thought the shepherds were unfit for the work as servants at their houses. And the shepherds, by the nature of their work, were the people who could not stay in one place. Some of the shepherds would do things that they would not be afraid, would be afraid to do if they were in their hometown. There were a lot of rumors about the shepherds, such as that the shepherds did not differentiate between what is theirs and what is not theirs. They would simply take something that is not theirs as long as they would not get caught. Because of these reasons, the shepherds would be deprived of the right to testify as witnesses in court. The reason the shepherds had to live such a life and had to be treated in such a way was related to the religion. The shepherds had to always stay out in the fields to take care of the animals, so they could not observe the Sabbath, and they cannot help but violate the religious laws. They could not bathe for a month, so they could not be clean. Moreover, they would sleep on the ground with the animals, so they would smell of animals. That some people will find the shepherds repulsive. The Pharisees and the teachers of law deemed the shepherds unclean and despicable. The shepherds were deemed rejected by not only the society, but also God. The shepherds themselves felt in the same way. Even though the shepherds were treated in such a way, Jesus did not hesitate to compare himself to the shepherd. There was no better comparison to the relationship between people and God than the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. However, Jesus showed that he was a faithful shepherd, unlike the shepherd who would not hesitate to steal from others. He said this in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No matter how much the shepherd loves the sheep, the shepherd would not die for the sheep. That is because the sheep are not comparable to the people. Just as the sheep are not comparable to the people, people are not comparable to God. The sheep and the people are both limited beings. However, the people who are limited are absolutely different from God, who is unlimited and everlasting. Nevertheless, Jesus died on the cross, having his body torn apart to save us. That is why the Lord is our good shepherd. I will read verse 4 once again. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Let me ask a question. If one of 100 sheep is lost, is the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep leaving behind the 99? Is he wise or unwise? how about sacrificing 8 people to save one person, as in the movie Saving Private Ryan? Is there meaning and value or not? If the person to be saved is an alcoholic or drug addict, would the answer change? How about if the person is not a private, but a general? Does the answer change then? Such a question would be a silly question. The evaluation of the shepherd depends on whether I am a lost sheep or a sheep inside the fence. If I am inside the fence, we would complain about the shepherd who leaves behind 99 sheep and goes after the stupid one. We would say, does this make sense? Would the shepherd want the wolves to come and eat 20 sheep? On the other hand, if I am the lost sheep, I would be so scared and waiting for the shepherd to come and find me. So when I am found, I would feel deeply thankful when the shepherd comes and finds me. If the shepherd had come leaving behind 999 sheep instead of 99 sheep, I would be all the more grateful. Likewise, if Private Ryan to be saved is someone I do not know at all, the mission would seem like a waste. However, if Private Ryan is my child, my partner, my parent, my brother, or my sister, I would think differently. If Private Ryan was none other than myself, the mission would seem absolutely valuable. If I were to truly accept that many people were killed to save me, I would try to live my life in a more meaningful way for the sacrifice to be not in vain. The Pharisees and the teachers of law thought that the tax collectors and the sinners lived their lives in the ways they did because of their faults. They thought that the tax collectors and the sinners deserved to be denounced. However, Jesus in this parable did not say the sheep ran away from the group, but that the shepherd lost the sheep. Jesus showed the pain and frustration of the shepherd. In the ancient Middle East, the reason for raising the sheep was not for the meat, but more for the fur. So the sheep spent about 10 years with the shepherd, and the shepherd called the sheep by their names. Naming would mean that the sheep is valuable not only in material terms, but also as living beings in relational terms. About 20 years ago, I visited a church member at his home, and the church member had a 17-year-old dog. The dog's age in human terms would be about 100. This church member had a son who was in elementary school and started living with the dog then, but the son had gotten married and left home, leaving the dog with the parents. When the dog became old and suffered cataract, the dog had a surgery which cost about 500,000 Korean won. When I saw the dog had lost the eyesight almost completely and would trip at the slightest bump in the house. At that time, the value of the dog was probably much less than the cost of the surgery. With the cost of the surgery, they might have been able to get multiple dogs. Even then, the reason the church member spent such a sum for the surgery, because of the value of the life of the dog and because of the relationship they had together. The scripture shows that the shepherd who found the sheep acted in this way in verse 5, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. If the shepherd had thought that the sheep should be responsible for having been lost, the shepherd might have beat the sheep and dragged the sheep back to teach the sheep a lesson. However, the shepherd joyfully put the sheep on his shoulders. Notice the shoulders is not in singular form, but in plural. The shepherd put the sheep on both shoulders in the way the sheep would be most comfortable. To the sheep which got lost, there would be no safer place than on the shoulders of the shepherd. Although it's not clear how long it took for the shepherd to find the sheep. The shepherd must have been tired. The shepherd might have been frustrated and angry. If the shepherd was looking after the sheep of someone else, the shepherd might have complained that the shepherd had to work many more hours because of this lost sheep. However, the shepherd did not do that. The shepherd put the sheep's fear and fatigue before the shepherd's. Think back to when we first met God. You did not believe me and you rejected me. I'm going to spank you. God did not say that. Instead, didn't you say, "It must have been hard for you to live on your own. You do not have to worry any longer. I will hold on to you and I will walk with you for the rest of your life." There is a famous song called "You Raise Me Up," which is popular among Christians as a ringback tone. The song goes like this. When I am down, and oh my soul, so weary. When troubles come, and my heart burdened me. Then I am still, and wait here in the silence, until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. From the line, "I am strong when I am on your shoulders," the shoulders here is also in plural form. Notice the shoulders is the organ in the body which is the strongest. While we are weak, God is strong. It is on the shoulders of God we can be strong. When the shepherd found the shepherd did not only put the sheep on his shoulders, but verse 6 states, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." The shepherd who found the sheep went home and had a party. although the shepherd found the sheep, it was not as if the number of sheep increased from 100 to 200 or 300. The number of sheep was the same. In fact, the shepherd had spent much time and energy in searching for this lost sheep, so the shepherd might have been upset. However, the shepherd was happy. The joy is the key to this parable. Jesus said the reason he told this parable was this. Verse 7 states, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The Pharisees and the teachers of law did not know the joy the shepherd had. Jesus is calling them to join in this joy. We all are without a doubt the sheep who was lost. We need to look carefully if we're changing or if we're not changing to become like the Pharisees and the teachers of law as time passes. We should put our trust in the Lord to not fall apart from the care of the shepherd like the lost sheep. We should further look carefully whether there is anyone who is alienated from the church community or our small group. We cannot make excuses such as, I am new to the church, there are too many people other than the person in our group, I am not the small group leader. Anyone with the burden in the spirit for that lost sheep embraces the heart of the Lord. We, the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, never had events such as Evangelism Sunday or Invitation Sunday to non-believers. We never had any campaigns such as evangelism to minimum 5 people per person. We believe that evangelism takes place through life rather than such events. One annual event we do have is the Night for Family Invitation. This event is not for increasing the number of church members or to entertain the people who are invited on that day. It is to join in the prayers of the people who ache and sometimes cry out for the loved ones and families who do not yet know God. No matter where they are or what they do, they're people who have the burden in the spirit, like a heavy rock placed on the chest, on their heart, and the church is presenting the gospel on behalf of these people. This is because these people are the people who should be embraced by us. The fact that the church is not making special programs for evangelism does not mean that we can be insensitive to the people who live like the lost sheep without God. Let us pray for the people who are like the lost sheep to find themselves being placed on the shoulders of God through the Night for Family Invitation. Also, let us not forget that we were originally like the lost sheep. It was not that we joined the group of 99 by using our poor eyesight. The shepherd had come to find us. Then it is our responsibility to live as the sheep, being built together with the Lord who came to find us. Saving Private Ryan, which I talked about in the beginning of the message, ends with Ryan, who became old and who stood in front of the grave of Captain Miller to say this. To be honest with you, I wasn't sure how I would feel coming back here. Every day, I think about what you said to me that day on the bridge, and I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned all you have done for me. Let us too, when we stand in front of the Lord after our last breath on this earth, confess like this. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned the eternal life and all you have done for me. Let us pray. Lord, I wonder how I would feel when I stand in front of you. Every day I think of your grace, having declared forgiveness of our sins on the cross and allowing us to become children of God. Please help us remember always that we were the lost sheep once and that there are still the lost sheep outside the fence that the shepherd needs to go and find. Please help us join in the joy of the Lord in finding the lost sheep. And please help us live as an instrument for the work of salvation. Please help us live a life worthy of the death of the Lord who gave everything for us. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.